Good to be here, actually. You're mentioning the UK PHA, the UK Public Health Association was the biggest public health organisation in the UK and, as Jim said, recently folded, entirely to do with the recession, actually, and austerity, and we had a substantial withdrawal of funds from the government over the last couple of years, and we had to reorientate ourselves and merge with another public health organisation, which is no bad thing, because you can never have too few public health organisations in a country, I think. Anyway, I'm delighted to be here. I'm having a great time at this meeting. The last meeting I was at was about the built environment, because that's my specialty interest at the moment, and I was very impressed at the enthusiasm of the audience, because the first speaker spoke, and they were pretty good, but they got a standing ovation, and so did the second, so the third, until I realised it was actually organised by the physical activity section. But you don't have to give me a standing ovation. And I want to just talk about, and because I wanted to impart something to you, leave you with something, I thought I'd leave you with, start with a picture of this woman, who's one of my kind of great heroes, and I was trying to explain how complex public health was to people, particularly working at a senior level in it, and I thought it was like tightrope walking, so I found this wonderful image of Maria Spelterini, a young Italian-American, and she remains the only woman ever to have walked on a tightrope across Niagara Falls. Fantastic. And she only did it in one season, and then she kind of disappeared with view. She didn't die. She died when she was in her late 50s, but this is her. You can see she didn't have much of an audience. And I'll come back to Maria. And I think public health is like that, tightrope walking. We're always slightly on the edge of things, and that is why I think austerity makes life much more difficult for us. When the economy catches a cold, then public health gets flu, and I've seen that many times in my career. When times get tough for public health. Occasionally we do well when times get good, but in all my experience, any time we've had an element of recession or a reduction in funding, well, public health tends to be put on the back burner. But when the economy has the flu, then public health gets pneumonia, and I think we're in real danger across the world in public health. You just have to listen to what's happening in terms of reductions in public health workforces in Canada or in the United States or in the UK, and we're really on the back. On the back foot. That's a terrible cricketing analogy, Jim. We were talking about we were watching baseball the other night, and Jim was doing his best to explain to me this strange sport. And
I told him to cheer for the Tigers in the Giants.
And he was saying, "Oh, well, it's all right. He doesn't understand cricket." Well, I don't really understand cricket either, because I'm from Ireland. But on the back foot is a cricketing analogy, and if you're on the back foot, you're not likely to hit the ball very well. So just shows you how the cultural influences have overcome me in the last 20 years in England. Anyway, characteristics of public health, you know these very well. Timescales are very long, often, on what we're about. Not always, but often. Measures can be unpopular, and we've had this great debate between the nanny state and the Pontius Pilate state, as I term it. But nanny statism is one of the things that's been hurled at us increasingly. The benefits may not be evenly spread of public health practice, and we know that some public health interventions can actually increase health inequalities in populations. And what public health is generally trying to do is to try and improve a situation, not maintain a status quo. And in many ways that makes our life more difficult, because we're always trying to change things, and making change is tough. You know, Lord Salisbury, who was three times British Prime Minister, once said the Prime Minister in Britain has an interview with the Queen every Thursday afternoon in Buckingham Palace. And during one of these interviews, Her Majesty Queen Victoria was saying to Lord Salisbury that there was something that she wanted to see altered, and he said, "Change, change. Why do we need change? Things are bad enough as they are." We're also always trying to produce change. And a lovely quote I came across: "Public health successes are about what doesn't happen, about people who don't get sick, epidemics that don't get out of control, about the healthy and problem-free delivery of newborns, about the birth defects that are avoided. So in some ways, our work isn't seen. So we don't get the big successes. We don't get the plaudits. We don't get the Nobel Prizes for public health. The Nobel Prize for Medicine doesn't go to public health people. We don't get the plaudits. But what we do is we keep communities safe. And our connection with delivering economic growth is either absent, some things we do won't deliver economic growth as such, or indirect and certainly long term. So we've got these characteristics, all of which come into play, I think, during a recession. Back to Maria. This was a very fevered time at the Niagara Falls. I don't quite remember it myself, but a very fevered time. And people were doing all sorts of strange stunts in order to build up their audience. And you can see the big difference between this photograph of Maria later that summer is that there's a huge number of people, of carriages and everything, sitting on the bridge watching her. And this stunt that she did on this occasion, she walked backwards one time and blindfolded another time. This time she walked across on the tightrope with peach buckets on her feet. So if public health is tough in the best of times, then I think public health in a time of austerity really needs some guts and some skill. So I think there are three aspects to our reaction to public health and austerity. One is, we have a real duty, I think, to up our game around the information. And if we can have the possibility of changing our information approaches, well, then we need to change and shift to match what's happening. So document the changes that are taking place in the social determinants, perhaps more than we have done in the past. And also beware, certainly what's happening in the UK is that the government, as a response to austerity, is saying, well, we have to cut the bureaucracy. So they are dropping really important information systems, are just falling one by one in terms of cutting red tape, cutting bureaucracy, cutting imposition on business or whatever. So I think the information side of public health has to be very clear about how we react and what work we do. Secondly, document the changes taking place in health status. And I think we have to front load that element because the arguments in the debate about austerity, where cuts fall and where times are tough, is taking place now, and it's no use us coming back and publishing a paper 10 years' time about what's been happening. We have to look really at the immediate stuff, for example, suicide and mental illness. We have to be producing data about those in a very contemporary way. Financial aspects, there's kind of hand-to-hand battle to be done to combat money being stolen from public health to support other sectors. We've got public health moving, in the UK we've got public health moving into local authorities. There's a great fear about our budget being pilfered to grit the roads because, well, that will stop people falling over or something like that. And trying to substitute money that's been lost in other sectors by money taken from public health just because there is some strange diverse link to public health, they say. So, and that's a problem I'm sure isn't unique to us. I think we do need to continue to work to increase the efficiency of delivery of public health services and programmes. I don't think we have paid enough attention over the years globally to issues of public health management and the management of programmes and the issues of efficiency. I know many of the programmes that I've been previously responsible for where there were gross inefficiencies, and we have often failed to deal with those inefficiencies. Often because being good public health people, we're always very interested in what communities want and how communities want things done. And very often the response is, when you present some fantastically good randomized controlled trial, gold standard evidence, and people say, wouldn't work here, we wouldn't be able to do it that way. So our connection with driving on what is efficient and effective is particularly important now. I think we have to show that we can deliver efficiently our public health services and programs. And then two things. First of all, there is a role about identifying public health interventions that will both improve health and assist those most affected by economic recession. Most of the responses to economic recession seem to be creating austerity, but that austerity is falling disproportionately on the poorest sections of society. Certainly in the UK there are large tax breaks being given to the very wealthy so that they can stimulate the economy, and there will be some trickle down eventually or whatever. So how do we do that? Well, one of the ones that I've been arguing for we should be spending even more money in is around tobacco and combating tobacco. If we stop help one person to stop smoking, that puts in dollars terms about $3,000 a year in their pocket. If we help them stop smoking, we should be investing. And the people who smoke are the poorest from the poorest communities. So that puts real money back into those communities, and we can argue, I think, coherently around things like drugs, alcohol, tobacco, gambling, that there are public health interventions that will assist the worst off. And then the fourth one, looking at public health interventions that will both improve health and stimulate economic recovery. The ones that particularly came to my mind around that were housing, and we have huge problems with housing. And one of the characteristics of spending money on improving housing is that money tends to be spent locally. It employs local labour and often local materials. Similarly, altering our transport infrastructure so that more people can cycle and walk tends to employ people locally and local materials. And also, it enables people to avoid using expensive cars and carbon generating transport such as cars, or indeed very expensive buses, as they often are in some of our cities. So there are interventions that I think can both improve health and stimulate economic recovery. I think the workforce aspects, I don't know about other places, I haven't heard it elsewhere, but I know every time we go through a turbulent period, and we're going through a turbulent period now, we lose really experienced staff. We tend to lose about 30% of our most senior public health people go. They take the opportunity of the change to go, often because they're pissed off, seeing their life's work destroyed for no good reason. Also, additional non-public health responsibilities can be added, part of that kind of role-shifting process that goes on, and public health time and effort having to go to do things that haven't previously been their responsibilities and are not necessarily public health, core public health activities. And I think also I see this very much, that because public health gets pneumonia, it is not seen as a good place for good people to go. It's seen as reducing the attraction of public health in terms of recruiting the people for the future. So, role of public health associations, very briefly. I think there is a lot to be said for huddling together for warmth in these times, and I think the public health community has a real duty to support each other, the national associations, doing that internationally and regionally and so on, as well as the people on the ground supporting each other. I feel very strongly about that one personally. Continue to concentrate attention on the social determinants of health, because that is the issue of social justice that is absolutely key, and it's our way of linking our work directly with the discussion about where austerity falls. Explain the health effects of recession and what different strategies can impart to the health of communities and countries. And I feel particularly strongly about this one. Advocate for change in the concept used in judging human and societal progress. We do get hung up on, we are hung up on GDP. For example, GDP, there was a very interesting piece today about the contribution that Sandy is going to make to increasing GDP in the United States. Going to make a very substantial contribution, some commentators are saying, because of the reconstruction that's going to have to take place now. And there's a brilliant speech from Bobby Kennedy in March the 16th in Kansas State, 1968 in Kansas State University, about what is in gross national product in the United States. And he talks about the napalm and the locks on our doors and the jails for people who break those locks. And he talks about two mass murderers, Speck and Whitman, and Speck's knife and Whitman's rifle. All of that goes into gross national product. He talks all about all the things that are not in gross national product, about the play of our children, the integrity of our public officials. And we've got a real job to do, and Jim and I have talked a little bit about this, in changing that. And I always like a counterpoint. I always like to say, well, look at Bhutan and their gross national happiness index, which is just fantastic. And we've got a real job to do. It's a huge task to shift the way in which we recognise human progress away from crude economic measures towards a more broadly based concept of what it means to progress as a human society. And that will be challenging, even more, you know, I think it's really challenging. One of the things that I was used to that struck me personally was in the Bhutan index is the gender distribution of domestic labour is one of their indicators of their gross national happiness. And I think that is a really salutary thing to include. I'll say no more. Finally, I think we have to work internationally and use international comparison and sharing of experience. One of the things that's very noticeable, as economies are falling into difficulty in many parts of the world, they are watching other economies like a hawk. It's just amazing. And who's in recession, who's out of recession, what the growth is like and so on. And we should be doing the same. And we should be increasing our international solidarity, as I've said, also. But also our comparison about how health is responding, and the health sector is responding, and public health sector is responding to what is done to the population in the name of austerity, and also sharing experience about what we're doing to try and prevent that. Just very finally, I really think that there are two things. We need a strategic response to this, I think, which goes far beyond anything I've seen so far coming out of the public health community. And we need to maintain contact between national public health associations, grow them where they don't exist, which are many countries, and also increase our international cooperation and support.